actually singing. Before I begin in our talk tonight, let's just take a moment to pray specifically for some people and things. Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight, Lord, a number of people have gone from Bangor, Lord God, up to Dundonald and the immediate environs in search, Lord God, of Carol Gray. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that she would be found safe and well. We pray, Almighty God, that in your grace and tender mercies you would help the family, Lord God, to have hope in what must seem like a hopeless situation at this time. Just be near them, Father, please, in Jesus' name, and help them, Lord, please. We pray also, Father, for the McCabe family at the loss of a young man, Thomas. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them in their loss, that you would be near them and help them, that you would strengthen them at this time. And we pray, Lord God, again for what seems like a hopeless situation, that you would bring hope to that family, please, and that you would bear them up in your everlasting love. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark, I'm going to turn this off and then I'll turn it on again. It's making a bit of a... Is that working yet? Take a few seconds. Yep. Okay. What in this broken world is happening? Last week we talked about mental illness, and I'd like to do a wee review on this. And I said that mental health problems are not a new thing, and they can affect anyone. I suffered from serious mental health 29 years ago on this day. I had purposed at 12 o'clock in the afternoon to kill myself. And I was upstairs at the time ironing a shirt, ready to kill myself at 12 o'clock that afternoon when I saw paramedics walking up the path to the front door of my house, and I thought, these people have got it wrong. The heavily pregnant woman lives next door. So I went down and opened the front door and I says, she lives next door, mate. And he says, what? I says, the pregnant woman lives next door. He says, we're not here for a pregnancy. I said, well, what are you here for? He says, a death. I said, there's no death in this house. At which my living room door opened out into the front hall and my cousin came out, who was a nurse, who had come in the back door. And she says, it is for here, Mark. And I said, can't be, there's nobody dead in here. And she says, it is, it's your dad. He's dead. And I said, she only left him 10 minutes ago, he can't be dead. And she says, he is. She says, I didn't know you were up the stairs. And I was up the stairs actually ironing a shirt that I wanted to be found dead in, when I had committed suicide at 12 o'clock that afternoon, and it was 11 o'clock in the morning, and my dad breathed his last. Now, I'm not saying for a moment that God killed my dad to save my life, but my dad's time was up. Our life and times are in God's hands, and he knows the number of days that he apportions to us. But when I watched and listened to the grief of my family on the 4th of August 1990 at the loss of our dad, I thought, I can't put them through any more of this misery. And I just prayed to God and said, give me the strength to put this off for a while. And God moved in a way to free me from that sense of self-destruction and delivered me from that, and I praise God for it. But I know what mental illness is like. I know what depression is like. And mental health problems are not a new thing. They can affect anyone. Moses suffered from mental health issues. Elijah suffered from mental health issues. Job, David, Jeremiah the prophet, the Gadarene demoniac in the New Testament, they all suffered from serious mental ill health at different times. And mental illness is non-discriminatory, and it affects people of all ages. And we saw last week in Psalm 88, we heard the words, if you read the psalm, go back and check it yourself, you read the words of someone suffering from serious mental health issues. They struggle with life. They are crying out for help, not to get by on a day-to-day basis, for help just with life as a whole. Problems are overwhelming them, problems that they think are too big to overcome. They feel like they are drowning. They feel like their whole life is in darkness. They don't have friends visiting anymore, but neither do they want them to visit, because they think their friends are fed up to the back teeth listening to them moaning about life. They're convinced if they go out that people are staring at them or even secretly mocking them. They feel trapped. They feel isolated. Even God, it would seem, has abandoned them. Well, the English preacher Charles Spurgeon said, the mind can descend far lower than the body, for in it there are bottomless pits. The flesh can bear only a certain number of wounds and no more. But the soul can bleed in 10,000 ways and die over and over again each hour. But Corrie ten Boom, Christian lady, said, there's no pit so deep that God's love isn't deeper still. With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. And Jesus said to people from suffering from mental illness, he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's not just a message to those suffering from mental illness, but when you're going through mental illness and struggling, that is a message of Jesus directly to you. Whatever burdens you're carrying, whatever difficulties and challenges you're facing, Jesus can give you rest. There's no pit so deep that God's love isn't deeper still. With Jesus, even in our darkest moments, the best remains, and the very best is yet to be. This is, as I said, this is the penultimate talk in our What in This Broken World is Happening. It's hard to believe it's 15 weeks. Next week will be the last. And we've managed to reach 15 weeks. I don't know how I've managed to do it without mentioning the B word. People know that I swear occasionally. God help me. I need deliverance. Sometimes, you know, you just get so wound up and wee words slip out. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, sometimes I'm full of a lot of crazy stuff. And I would swear now and again. People even say when I use the word crap, that's swearing. You shouldn't use that in the church. Well, I don't see that as that. But anyway, we've managed to reach 15 weeks of What in This Broken World is Happening. And I haven't mentioned the B word, but I'm going to be using it tonight. So I hope there's no one here is going to be offended. In 2013, a film called The Purge, the first of a series of four films, was released. In fact, there's a new one coming out next year. I can't wait. Anybody knows I love splatter movies. Love them. So in 2013, The Purge came out. And it's about a national holiday. Everybody wants a holiday. Isn't that right? Who doesn't want a holiday? Has anybody here not had a holiday this year so far? Except for me. Right? Everybody, look at all these people. Well, here's your opportunity, right? In The Purge, it's a national holiday where people are free for a 12-hour period to purge all of their unproductive emotions of hate and jealousy and rage in a flurry of state-sanctioned mayhem, destruction, and murder. In other words, you can kill as you please without fear or of consequence. For a 12-hour period, there is complete anarchy, lawlessness. No one is safe as society celebrates the purge. Personally, I love the idea. I think it would be a great national holiday. Imagine 12 hours to do as you please. Who would you bump off? I keep telling my foster weans, every one of them know. I keep saying, see, whenever I no longer a Christian, I'm going to be a serial killer, and it's foster babies. I'm coming after you for the stress that you've put me through. But imagine 12 hours to bump off whoever you like, so long as someone else hasn't bumped you off. Who would you take out? I hope nobody in their heart tonight has murdered anyone, because I'll be guilty of it for inspiring you to think like this. It's only a movie. It's only a film. I don't encourage 12 hours of mayhem. But when I first heard the B word, I actually wasn't sure what it meant. I actually thought, and honestly, I actually thought that it was a new type of chocolate biscuit or a breakfast cereal. Now, you're bound to have worked it out by now. When I found out what Brexit actually meant, I couldn't wait to vote leave. I couldn't wait. I was buzzing at the thought of it. Brexit, get out of Europe. That is blessing. That's like nearly next to heaven. That is like heaven on earth to me. And when I first heard it, honestly, I thought Brexit, I actually felt weak because I thought it was a new form of chocolate biscuit. And anybody who knows me knows I like my chocolate biscuits. And I'm running about the stalls or the aisles in Tesco's looking for this Brexit biscuit. And then when I didn't find it, I thought it must be a breakfast cereal. So I sort of avoided that. The term Brexit was adapted in May 2012 from the original term Grexit. Doesn't sound as good, sure. That wouldn't make me think of a chocolate biscuit. Sounds like something to do with a Grinch or whatever else. But the term Brexit was adopted from the original term Grexit when Greece was considering leaving the European Union. Unfortunately, they decided to stay. Peter Wilding, a member of the Conservative Party, he coined the phrase Brexit to represent the British exit from the European Union. And now it's a term that we all know so well. In fact, we're probably sick to the back teeth hearing about it, aren't we? And then into the scene of time steps Boris Johnson. So tonight, what in this broken world is happening is this. Brexit ain't the solution. Hear that tonight. Brexit ain't the solution. Now, before anyone thinks that I've changed my mind and I've had a change of heart regarding vote leave, let me put you at ease. In my opinion, and it's my opinion only, we need to get out and we need to stay out. That's my view. There's been so much lying, so much deceiving, so much scaremongering going on regarding what might happen to the United Kingdom when we leave the European Union that I'm not surprised someone hasn't suggested that the UK is going to experience a purge where people are just going to be having anarchy and they're going to be out running about killing each other like something out of one of these movies. It's my view that Great Britain lost its greatness when it joined the European Union. It's my belief that Great Britain will gain its greatness again when we leave. And I don't believe that there's going to be a purge. I don't believe we're going to all have to live behind locked steel doors because there's going to be mayhem as people are out there trying to kill one another because we've left the European Union. According to some scaremongers, it would seem there'll be so much lawlessness after Brexit that people will do as they please and kill as they please. Now, some hyperbole here no doubt is being used, but still they try to scare us into remaining within the EU. Now, I'm not here to preach politics. I'm going to put a point across here tonight. But, you know, Christians, and certainly not preachers, they're not supposed to be politically motivated. But that doesn't mean that we can't politically think. Even Jesus politically thought and looked at, in his day, at what was going on in the politics of Israel at the time. Among many other things, leaving the European Union. Now, you may not agree with me. I'm just telling you this is my view. Among many other things, leaving the European Union will allow our nation to regain much of its autonomy and authority and will be governed again by our elected representatives with direct democratic accountability. However, as my title says, in light of even that, Brexit ain't the solution to the brokenness of our nation. You see, if people think if we can get out of Europe, if we even believe the Brexiteer lies about how many millions upon millions upon millions of pounds are going to be available for so many wonderful, wonderful and worthy causes, if we even believe all of that nonsense, thinking getting out of Europe is the solution to all of our problems, we are being duped. Brexit ain't the solution to the brokenness of our nation. Linked to 27 other member states and subject to the most ridiculous rules. Did anybody ever hear some of the ridiculous rules that came out of Europe? You can't have a bendy banana. You've got to give so much money to the Lesbian Hunchback Association. Where does this stuff come from? Linked to 27 other member states and subject to ridiculous rules and regulations issued by Brussels bureaucrats, the UK needs to break free from the European Union's increasingly biased stance against Christianity and the teaching of God's word. Make no mistake about this. The European Union is no friend of Jesus. The European Union is no friend of the Word of God. It doesn't matter what it tells you about the church all collectively working together. Ecumenism is no friend of Jesus. Ecumenism is no friend of the Word of God. They will take and cherry pick from the Word of God what suits the belief of the system of the European Union, and they will cast Jesus to the side and the truth of God's Word to the side and keep what suits them so that they can look like they have this religious understanding. We need to get out of it. We need to understand the European Union is increasingly biased against Christianity and the teaching of God's word. I believe at heart the European Union is opposed to Jesus and the teaching of the Bible. It's very possible, and this is just a possibility, I want you to think about this. It is very possible the European Union will eventually collapse. Greece has tried to get out but failed. Ireland wanted out, and that was the wrong vote, so they kept voting and voting and voting until they decided we're fed up the back teeth, we'll just stay. Britain is leaving. Others are on the brink of talking about holding referendums to get out. I think it is very possible that the European Union will eventually collapse as more member states consider leaving. But it could eventually be revived and become a super state with one appointed leader who will have the support of the apostate church. Now, the apostate church is the counterfeit church. It is what looks like the Church of Jesus Christ. It can speak like and sing like it is the Church of Jesus Christ, but Jesus isn't in it. It has moved away from the teachings of God's word. And if the European Union is revived again and becomes a super state and appoints one leader, he will have the support of the apostate church, and that church's one leader. And for those who read their Bibles, you could think for a moment that that will be the Antichrist and the false prophet. Britain needs out. It has no time for Jesus. It has no time for the preaching of the Word of God. However, I'll say it again. If anyone in the UK thinks Brexit is the remedy to the brokenness of our nation, then let me tell you clearly, Brexit ain't the solution. To quote the comedian Roy Walker, it's good, but it's not right. It's good, but it's not right. In my opinion, it's good to leave the EU, but it's not right if you think it will be the solution to all of our nation's brokenness. Our nation is broken because of sin. Our nation is broken because many of our citizens reject Jesus and the Word of God. We saw it demonstrated on the streets of Belfast yesterday. We saw again the walk of shame. We saw again what they call pride. But let me tell those involved with pride and those involved in watching pride and those involved endorsing pride that God's Word says pride comes before destruction. And this nation is broken because of sin. And this nation is broken because people reject Jesus and the Word of God. Although the brokenness of the world and our nation can't be fixed, there is a solution. There is a solution to many of our national, regional, community, family, and individual problems. Hear that again. Although our nation cannot be fixed, the world cannot be fixed, our nation can't be fixed, but there is a solution to many of our national, regional, community, family, and individual problems. And God gives us the solution. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the only verse that I am going to read this evening, and it says this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." People reject Jesus. People reject the Word of God. And God's hand, as I said some time ago, is slowly lifting and lifting and lifting off us, and His hand of protection is being removed, and we're seeing more and more corruption and more acts of defiance against the living God, like gay pride and so many of all of these other hideous things, like the abortion act going to be changed, like gay marriage or same-sex marriage possibly coming. This is God lifting His hand of protection of our nation as we reject Him and we reject His ways. And that hand is going to come down very fast and with judgment upon us, unless we do as God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their lands. God is gracious and forgiving and extends this promise to individuals and to our nation. If our nation, which calls itself Christian, if our nation will humble itself and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and will forgive our nation's sin and heal our land. If individuals will humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and forgive all of their sins and guide them in His wonderful purpose for their lives. But the other side of the coin, ladies and gentlemen, says this: if people don't listen to what God says, if people refuse to repent and have faith in Him, then God may indeed give us up or give them up to the sinfulness of their sin. And unlike the purge, they will have no means of dealing with their sinful, unproductive emotions of hate and jealousy and anger and all that their sin entails. And our broken society and broken nation will sink deeper into the depravity of sin, which leads to eternal destruction. If we do not listen to what God says, if we do not repent of our sin, if we do not put away our wickedness and cry out to God for forgiveness and for His salvation, then God may give us up as a nation, as a community, as individuals, to the sinfulness of our sin. And we will be a broken society, a broken nation that sinks deeper into the depravity of sin, which leads to eternal destruction. Tonight, Christian, you know that you have already repented and trusted in Jesus to save you. But that may have been years ago. Think about it. You know that you gave your life to the Lord. You know that you put your trust in Jesus. You know that you told God that you've repented of your sin and you're walking with Jesus. But what if that was years ago? Or perhaps it's just recent. Perhaps you have just recently given your life to the Lord. Well, let me ask you, is there sin in your life that you're not repenting of? Is there secret sin that you think God doesn't know or God doesn't see? Are there periods in your life when you think you can celebrate your own purge and do as you please without fear of consequence? Have you allowed your love for Jesus, who loves you and gave himself for you? Have you allowed your love to grow cold, and as a result, sin has entangled you again in the ways of the world? I'm asking you tonight, Christian, to think about this, because this is still God's word to you. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What about you, Christian, tonight? New Christian, long in the tooth Christian. Where do you stand when it comes to Jesus? Where do you stand when it comes to holiness? Think about it. Maybe there's someone here tonight or someone watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast, and perhaps you're not yet a Christian, you're not yet a follower of Jesus. Perhaps you continue to live your life as you please with no thought for God or no thought for eternity and where you're going to spend it. Well, listen to what God says to both groups, to Christian and unbeliever alike. If you, God is speaking to you tonight, whether you're here in the hall, whether you're a Christian or not. He is speaking to you tonight on Facebook, whether you are a Christian or not. He is speaking to you who is listening to our podcast tonight, whether you are a Christian or not. And this is what he says. If you will humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and will forgive your sin and will guide you into his wonderful purpose for your lives. Let me put the word purge from that movie, that film, let me put the word purge in its proper context. If God was to purge all sin tonight, where would you spend eternity? If God was to purge all sin tonight, where would you spend eternity? The world is broken and it can't be fixed, but you can. Repent. Do as God says. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we all have, I'm sure, different views of Brexit and what that all entails, Lord God. Most of us are sick to death, Lord, listening about it. And we just want to see something happening. But Lord, tonight we know that Brexit ain't the solution to the problems of our nation. What our nation needs, Lord God, to do is to repent. As a nation, Lord God, to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways and to seek your face, so that you might hear us, Lord God, when we call out to you. And that you, Lord God, might heal us, and that you might, Lord God, heal this land. Lord, forgive us for being so easily duped by the world, the flesh, and the devil, by being so easily led astray from your word. Forgive us if our love for Jesus has in any way grown cold. Forgive us, Father, please, if we have allowed sin to entangle us again in some way or other, Lord God, it has led us away from you or caused our love to grow cold. Help us, please, by the grace of Almighty God, to receive repentance from you, that we might walk in that repentance, and that we might glorify you as we lay down our lives in humble, obedient service to you. And Lord, I pray for people tonight who are not Christians. I ask that you would help them to see that all that's going on, Lord God, in this world, all that's going on in this nation, things that are wrong that we think are right, Lord God, things that are right that we're calling wrong, people going out, Lord God, to watch and endorse marches of defiance against the living God. Father, please have mercy upon our nation. Do not lift your hand of protection completely from us, but in your great grace and tender mercies, grant repentance, please. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, please, to bring conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to the unbeliever, that they might, Lord God, come to you through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, and find salvation in his glorious name. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.